How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794. XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet. WrestlingObserver.com, Armed Forces, American Forces Network, actually. Cable Radio Network, so many different ways to hear this program. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. We actually have not been on the air in 2 weeks. Last week, I was in Las Vegas for the International Fight Week weekend, I guess you could call it. I was there for UFC 175. I flew home before the BJ Penn retirement fight, but we can talk about that as well. A lot of news coming out of UFC. We'll be talking all about last week's event. And, of course, next week, we've got a WWE pay-per-view coming up, so we'll preview that program as well. A lot of news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, including the signing of Kenta to NXT, eventually WWE as well, that happened in Japan this weekend. We'll talk about the Daniel Bryan neck injury situation, as well as the retirement of Santino Marella. I had a friend of mine a couple of days ago email me essentially about Santino and Daniel Bryan. He had a lot of involvement in WWE, and he essentially said, well, perhaps something should be done because we've got a lot of guys with a lot of different neck injuries. Maybe this is something the company should be thinking about. Certainly not as bad as it was in the early part of the 2000s with Edge and Angle and everybody going down due to neck injuries because of all the TLC matches and that sort of thing. But still, maybe something to talk about. The contract of CM Punk is going to expire this coming Thursday. What is next for CM Punk? He's been tweeting about that. Plus, we're going to talk all of the news in mixed martial arts as well, including the second ever event, which has been canceled. All of that coming up after the break, plus your phone calls in about 20 minutes. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined today not by Mike Sempervivi. We've got David Bixenspan here on the program today. Mike had a very, very busy weekend. He will be back, actually, perhaps in 2 weeks, because next week I will be in Calgary and probably will do this program with Lance Storm in studio. So I think that's the plan for next week, but I will alert everybody on Twitter as the week goes by. But anyway, it is Wrestling Observer Live here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news to get into today, and Bix, how you doing? Hopefully,
very well.
There we go. All right, let's start with Battleground here. We've obviously got a pay-per-view. It is, I think you noted during the break, this is the first show of 2013 with only a three-week break in between. And we've got a lot of championship matches. We'll do a full preview of this on next week's show, but I wanted to very quickly go over all of the main matches here since tomorrow is already the go-home show for Battleground. Main event is a fatal four-way for the title. It is John Cena, Kane, Randy Orton, and Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight title. And with a lot of advertising already out for John Cena versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, I would be very surprised if John Cena lost the title. Although they have been pushing Roman Reigns very, very hard on television. Bix, where do you think they're going in this match?
Beyond Cena winning? So
you expect Cena to win?
The only way I could see him losing is if they decided to do a gimmick with him tying Flair's record now, but I doubt that.
What do you do with Roman Reigns? We've been talking about this on some of the other shows. You got a guy, and obviously the long-term plan is for him to probably win the title at WrestleMania, but they're kind of doing what they were doing with Daniel Bryan this fall. The awesome fall season with Daniel Bryan, where they put him in match after match for the title, but they didn't want to put the title on him, and so he kept losing, and it did him no favors. I mean, he has admitted, I think, in the Chris Jericho podcast that there's some terrible booking during that period. It's almost like they're doing the same thing with Roman Reigns now. What do you do in this match if you're going to not have Roman Reigns come out as a champion?
Well, unlike Daniel Bryan, it's not a singles match either time. So that's something. I mean, it's still, they still shouldn't be doing it, but I would say you kind of just repeat what they did last month where he shines. It looks like he's going to win. Something happens where he gets kind of screwed, but in a way that doesn't really interfere with the actual finish. And he still comes out of it looking pretty strong. Because it's not, I don't feel like he lost anything in the Money in the Bank match. Do you?
I don't think he lost anything, but I don't know. I guess the easiest way to do it is just to have Randy Orton cost him the match somehow. And then you've got Randy Orton and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. John Cena and Brock Lesnar. And I don't know. I mean, I presume you just have, Reigns beat Orton and then do the Roman Reigns Triple H match at the September pay-per-view. I mean, it all works. I just, I don't like the idea of putting a guy in a match too many times if he's not going to come out of it with the title, pushing him as hard as they're pushing Reigns.
Oh, absolutely. I would think this is the last time, though, because, like you said, we should have Orton next month, then Triple H, then I guess after that it's far enough that if they wanted to do the Rollins feud, they could, because I would think it'll be done with Ambrose by then, unless they have Money in the Bank set to be something that's very long term and they want to have Ambrose keep spoiling him, even if they're not feuding with each other. But I think as long as this is the end of it, it's not that bad.
So the semi-main, we've got a battle royal for the vacant Intercontinental title, which of course had to be vacated by what's his face?
Bad News Barrett.
Bad News Barrett. Bad News Barrett vacated the title. So we've got Del Rio, Big E, Bo Dallas, Cesaro, Curtis Axel, Damian Sandow, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Kofi Kingston, Rob Van Dam, Ryback, Sheamus, Great Khali, and a mystery man, Bix. There is a TBA in this match. I don't know if that means this TBA is going to be a somebody debuting and winning. They often like to do the person debuts and wins the title in their first ever match, or it may just be, I don't know who, somebody returning, maybe Big Show. But I think as we go through this list, pretty safe to say that you can eliminate a bunch of guys, including Axel, Sandow. I think you can eliminate Ziggler, Fandango, Kofi, RVD, since he's kind of a part-timer, Great Khali.
So you're just going to name everyone until you get to Cesaro, aren't
and the
you?
Picking, well, they might put it on, I don't know, Sheamus, if they really wanted to. The pickings are slim, but it does seem that Cesaro is likely going to win the belt. It's either Cesaro or the TBA. Who could TBA be?
Now, wait a second. Are you looking at Wikipedia like I am, or at WWE.com?
I'm looking at the Wikipedia. Is it updated even? What does WWE.com have?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't know. That the TBA may very well just be that they've said not everyone has been announced. I don't know if it's a specific mystery man.
Let's see what WWE.com has here. So you presume Cesaro?
Oh, yeah.
Probably a safe bet here. All right. WWE.com is still the most, I don't want to say it's the most difficult website.
It's very hard
seen.
To find the pay-per-view.
Where in the... Okay, here we go. Battleground.
It used to be under shows.
It shouldn't
now
have taken me so long
yes.
to find that. All right. Battle Royal. Let's see here. We got to scroll through all of this. All right. Intercontinental title Battle Royal. They have Cesaro, Kofi, Damian Sandow, Khali. They have essentially the same list we have. And also saying, with more superstars expected to be named in coming weeks. So, seeing there's only 1 week left, hopefully they added that.
Okay, but it's not an individual TBA surprise wrestler.
No, they're not. They're not. There's no Ryback shadow with a question mark on him, at least not yet. So I guess to be safe, we'll just predict that Antonio Cesaro is going to win. I do like that Sheamus is in it. He is the U.S. champion. I guess he could. I mean, he's claimed he's going to win and then unify the titles. I would hope that if they're going to unify the titles, it'll be bigger than just a random happening in a Intercontinental Battle Royal at a pay-per-view that nobody cares about.
Well, if they do it, it should be Cesaro winning the Intercontinental title and then beating Sheamus. I think that's a good thing for him. And it's guys that, you know, can have really great matches together and have a good feud. I think that's a decent direction for him.
I still don't know what their plans are for unification. They've wanted to do it, and then they didn't want to do it, and then they've wanted to do it, and now they're back to really not wanting to do it again. I don't know why they don't just do it, get it over with. I mean, they could essentially do the same thing that they do with the world and WWE titles. Just the winner would carry two belts. You can still sell four belts to all of the kids. Realistically, the kids have to buy two belts if they want to be the champion. So you make even more money. I mean, that's obviously the gimmick with the double titles for the main championship. And then if you've got two touring brands, just stop putting the belt on geeks and have one star carry those two belts around, the other star carry the other two belts around. They headline the two different tours, and away you go. I mean, I think that's logically the easiest thing to do, but that's not what they're doing. So I don't know. Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho.
I don't know who wins this time. It depends on how long term they want to go. I would think that Jericho's there specifically to put him over. I just don't know if that happens now or if the idea is that Wyatt keeps beating him. The end result for this is that Jericho is trying to elevate him, I would think, because that's Jericho's thing nowadays.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the way that they book often is... It's almost like how they format the matches. Actually, we're going to head to a break. I'll talk about Jericho and White when we come back because I have some thoughts on how they may structure this feud. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Joined this week by David Bixenspan here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network. It is the most listened to wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the entire world. And we are talking all sorts of topics here today. As noted, phone lines are open from now until the end of the show. 855-478-4478, toll free. That is 855-478-4478. Give us a call. Any topics, pro wrestling or mixed martial arts. And before the break, we were talking about this upcoming Battleground show next weekend. The Bray Wyatt, Chris Jericho match. There are two things, two ways that WWE traditionally books their matches. I presume this is going to be a feud. I don't think Chris Jericho's coming back for a one-off at the Battleground pay-per-view. I presume they're doing three matches. So my thoughts are, first match will be the straight match. Second match will probably have some sort of stipulation. Third match will be, especially since it's coming up in September and it's time for WWE network renewals, the third match will probably be some sort of bigger stipulation match. But normally how they do it is the way they structure a match. Chris Jericho has his babyface shine at the beginning. Which would mean that he could win at Battleground, believe it or not. Bray Wyatt beats him at SummerSlam, and then they do the blow-off rubber match, and Bray Wyatt beats him there as well. That's if you want to put Bray Wyatt over at the end. If you are fine putting the babyface over at the end, you have Bray Wyatt win the first match, Bray Wyatt wins the SummerSlam match, and then you have the big stipulation match, and Chris Jericho gets his big win there at the end. I don't know which way they're going to go. I would be stunned if Jericho lost all three. Obviously, he's here to put over Bray Wyatt. Of the available options, Bix, which way do you think they're going to go?
I think that Jericho wins the first match. Just knowing how they do things now, yeah, I think it's just going to be the usual way if the end result is the heel winning the feud, which means babyface wins the first match, heel wins the second match. Heel then wins the third match. So basically what they did, well, the opposite of ending of with Cena, because Cena won, but the same structure.
Sure.
And then the end is whoever you want.
And I mean, they could also do the other way, because I mean, when they did the blow-off match with Cena and Bray Wyatt, I mean, Bray lost that match, but because it was such a hard-hitting, exciting match, it wasn't like it hurt Bray Wyatt. So you could have Bray beat Jericho twice, And then they do some sort of crazy stipulation match and do all sorts of wacky things, and Jericho wins there, but you're still putting Bray over in a sense. I mean, you could go either way, but at the end of the day, the idea is that Bray is hopefully going to be elevated further by Jericho. Also, AJ and Paige, a rematch for the Divas title. I have not watched SmackDown yet. Having only watched Raw, it's wacky. They're buddies now. I guess it's just AJ giving Paige her automatic rematch. I would expect AJ to win. I expected this to be a feud over the summer, so maybe one of the others turning. They both seem to be... I think they're both heels right now. I'm not entirely sure what's going on. What are your thoughts on this feud?
Okay, I think AJ is a babyface. I think Paige is a heel pretending to be a babyface.
I see.
Well, I think.
That makes as much sense as anything. So who wins?
AJ, I don't see them switching back the belt this quick. I mean, that's really something they don't do at all anymore. So even just by that, I would say AJ wins. And hopefully it's a very good match if they get the right amount of time. You know, they gave a decent amount of time to Paige versus Naomi last time. And this is certainly a better match on paper than that. So we'll see. But I think this could be pretty good.
We have the match, a first ever, the Usos and the Wyatt family. Never before seen on any programming. I've not seen SmackDown yet, as I noted. Do you know if they did this match again on SmackDown? Because I think I've seen it on every single show for about the past 3 months now.
I have not seen SmackDown yet either. I think usually what they do is if they're going to do it again, they put them in a six-man on SmackDown.
I see. We'll talk about this match in just a moment. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is... Oh, no, you're not on the air. It's I see it at the last moment. 855-478-4478. These guys always have a good match, but, I mean, the funniest part is they're having a 2 out of 3 falls match. So not only are they doing the match again, they're doing it 3 more times on pay-per-view coming up in a week. I would be stunned if the Wyatt family did not win. I thought they were going to win the last time. It's time to do a championship switch. I guess maybe you could hold it off and do another 6 weeks of wrestling and do it at SummerSlam, but I would guess that it's probably going to be a title change here.
Yeah. Having said that, as much of a lame duck show as this is storyline-wise, in the ring, it's actually a hell of a show on paper.
It does look good. It could be a good show. The renewal period isn't for another month. And it's funny how I don't want to say they're not doing any promotion for this show, but there's a lot of forward looking towards SummerSlam. You know, it is a different business because you don't have to necessarily sell every pay-per-view. You've got to sell every and really the renewal periods will. There's always going to be a big renewal period, but I mean, as time goes on. People should be signing up on every day throughout the month. And so in the months and years as we go on. So the big renewal period will always be a renewal period that's bigger than others. It'll always be right around WrestleMania and right around August, September. But perhaps it will be less important as time goes on. We'll discuss that in a second. I think this guy is calling again. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, Dave from Wisconsin.
Dave, what's up?
Two questions. First one, in lieu of the recent financial, I don't know if you want to call it disaster, but financial losses and cutbacks by WWE, do you see them actually still putting the title on Brock Lesnar as John Cena tends to not necessarily drive business, but when he's the champion, from what I recall, his business tends to at least increase a little over someone else?
I think they're still going to put the title on Brock. I don't think he's going to be like a long-term champion. But I don't think, I mean,
But like till WrestleMania?
No, he won't be till WrestleMania. Yes. I could see Brock as champion for like a 2 month, 3 month period, maybe. I think he beats Cena and they hope that Daniel Bryan is back by September or October. But no, I don't see him putting the title on ice for WrestleMania.
Okay. And question number two is, who do you think says you know more, Mason Ryan or Dave Meltzer?
I didn't even hear Mason Ryan do it, so I guess I got to say Dave. Did he say it a lot?
I'll have to go back and listen to it.
I'll have to go back and listen to
every single phrase.
Wow. All
right.
All right. Yeah. Thanks so much. Maybe it's a Welsh thing. Bix, any thoughts on any of those questions? Mostly the former.
I kind of got stunned into forgetting what the first question was.
The will they ice the title on Brock?
Oh yeah, Lesnar. I am curious if they think that they could convince Lesnar to do one pay per view a month, and that that could help save the network for now. You know, and you could have, and he wouldn't even have to be on TV every week because of Heyman. I think that they are so owned in on this for SummerSlam and then the renewal period. I feel like it has to be something they've at least considered. But then again, with the losses and everything, maybe not. But let me put it this way. I don't think it's going to happen. But if they decided to go on with it, it would not shock me.
All right. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim?
I heard you talking about the upcoming match was at Battleground between Paige and AJ Lee.
Yes.
And, you know, I was just talking about, you know, who was the heel and who was the face. I'm kind of looking at, like I said, I think Paige is the heel, but they're going kind of like a wrong way. You know, they're making her like she loves AJ and so supporting her. I'm just wondering if one way she's just going to just attack her and just do kind of like a Michelle McCool thing.
Hey, it may happen at the pay-per-view.
Exactly. I was just thinking about, because the last time she was on SmackDown, all she was just clapping and raising her hand and all this stuff, you know, and didn't look real sincere to me.
So you're telling me that AJ, who has a crazy girl gimmick, is mm-hmm. going to be out-crazied by a crazier girl in your storyline?
I don't know, but I'm like you. It looks like AJ is the baby in this one because, you know, she's talking to the fans and...
Well, listen, Jim, if anybody would know, it would be you. If anyone could make this determination.
Let me change gear for just 1 second here. Talking about some women's MMA, okay?
All right.
Ronda Rousey looked awesome that 16-second fight she had the other week.
Yes, she did.
Okay. Now, I got into a little argument with a fellow on Facebook the other week. He was giving me this junk about, oh, they're protecting her and they're doing this, that, and the other, and she can't beat Kat Zingano. Is that her name?
Yes, Kat Zingano.
Who is Kat Zingano and how good is she?
Well, I'm going to let you go. We're going to talk MMA after the break, but hold that thought, everybody. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Check Sirius Satellite Radio app, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, and on and on and on. And, of course, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always check out WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates. We update throughout the day. We have radio shows. More radio shows than you would ever know what to do with. We usually do about 10 to 15 shows every single week. In fact, one of our contributors, Carl Stern, has been doing a show every single day. He's doing 30 straight historical shows in July. And if you miss any of them, every single show that we've ever done is immediately put into our archives. We have over 5,000 radio shows in the archives at this point in time. Every show we have ever done dating back to 2005. Every major news story, we've interviewed all of the biggest names in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. It is all up there in the archives. $10.99 a month gets you everything. All of the radio shows, the new shows, the archived shows, all of the subscribers-only content, the Observer newsletter, the Figure Four weekly newsletter, all up there. And it's only $10.99 per month. And in fact, Dave here, Bixenspan, is the head writer of Figure Four Weekly. So, Bix, what do we have in Figure Four this week that everybody can look forward to?
So this week, the feature story is me taking a look at WWE Network, which I know a lot of people have done that lately, but Actually, a friend of mine, like an hour before the show, actually called it the best thing he has seen anyone write about the WWE Network to date.
Wow.
And pretty much just looking at what exactly has been going wrong, both on the content side, on the launch, everything, that just because basically until they actually did that hard sell of the network this past Monday, I was thinking something is wrong, that they had not been plugging it close to as much as they did for Tout or the app or anything like that. And then they did this hard sell this past Monday because they're doing the credit card free trial, credit card list, no credit card required free trial this week, which ends, I believe, midnight tonight. And just got me thinking about all this and just going into pretty much every single thing you can think of with the network. So there's that. And there's also the Natalia lawsuit. She got sued by a Pennsylvania inmate. That got resolved this past week. And honestly, I'm not sure we can mention any of the details on terrestrial radio.
You don't want to know any of the details, everybody. But if you do, Figure Four Weekly, it's up on the website right now for subscribers. So head up there and check that out. A couple of notes before the break. First off, Jim was asking about Kat Zingano. His friend thinks that Ronda Rousey is being protected. All I will say about that is she will be facing Kat Zingano soon. Kat's doing her comeback fight. It will not be against Ronda Rousey, but I would presume that at some point that fight is coming. UFC just signed Holly Holm, who is a pro boxer and has been doing mixed martial arts. And Chris Cyborg will be dropping down to 135 for her first Invicta fight at 135 in December. So clearly, the idea obviously is that that fight is going to be taking place at some point. So protecting Ronda Rousey, particularly if you look at the show last weekend where they tried to get her to fight again in 1 month, I don't think protecting Ronda Rousey is exactly what this company is doing. If anything, they're endangering her by having her fight as often as they're having her fight, or at least attempting to have her fight. She's not fighting in August, but I think a lot of big fights are coming up, and she just happened to destroy a girl. It's not like Alexis Davis sucks. She just was no match for Ronda Rousey. It's a big difference between that and handing someone a tomato can. Let's go to this call real quick. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Matt in Phoenix.
Matt, you got to talk right into the phone. What's going on?
Oh, sorry. This is Matt in Phoenix.
What's going on?
Hey, I had a question about the network.
All right.
Read somewhere is about 667,000 subscribers.
667, that was the first number they've given, yep.
You know, they're probably far below their number right now. What is it that you think can drop the new subscribers? Do you think it's old content or actually newer shows? I know a lot of people are watching the newer shows, or would it be like pricing promotions, maybe a year contract for $99.99, or actually like the return of Brock and just putting his matches on the pay-per-views, or even Punk, you know, if they could somehow get him back? What do you guys think would really drive the number?
All right, I'm going to let you listen off the air because you've got a pretty weak phone, but this is a good question for Bix. I will just say very quickly, and then we'll get Bix's thoughts. My whole concept of this network is I have got a lot of DVDs, I've got a lot of tapes, and by the way, I have no VCR, so I really can't do anything with the tapes. But I love the idea that I have UFC Fight Pass, and if I ever want to watch any show in the history of UFC, I can throw away all of my UFC DVDs, tapes, whatever. I've got it on demand anytime I want to watch it on UFC Fight Pass. I think that's awesome. Not to mention, they've got live shows on there. We'll be able to watch Invicta on there. UFC Fight Pass is great. The WWE Network, I don't like the idea that if I want to watch a Raw from 1998, I've got to go on YouTube, or I've got to dig out a videotape that I can't even watch because I don't have a VCR. You know, Dave Meltzer has mentioned in the past, hey, all the pay-per-views are up there. That's great. But let's say that I want to watch a pay-per-view. It would be awfully nice to be able to watch the 4 weeks of television leading up to the pay-per-view. I can't do that. I want a full library of Raw, Nitro, and Thunder. I want the pay-per-view events on there. I want the home video library that I can go back and watch. I want more content on demand that I can watch at any time. And the fact that I don't have the WWE Network on right now. I haven't had the network on since the pay-per-view. Why would I? There's really not a lot on it that I'm going to watch. Every now and then there's a special, but I'm not going to go up there and watch old episodes of Total Divas or Legends House or anything like that, or a pay-per-view with no context. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I think this network should be. Bix, what is, I guess, giving us a capsule look at your article, what's wrong with this network and how can it be fixed?
So to continue where you left off on the content side, the biggest problem is quite simply that the weekly TV shows and the old house shows that are there have not been updated for 3 months. They have weekly ECW TV, weekly World Class TV, and various old WWE house shows, which they put in, you know, no specific order, but they were there. Those have not been updated in, I think there was one house show they added maybe a little later, like in May, but otherwise not for over 3 months. Why? Nobody knows. Maybe it has to do with the head of programming getting cut, although that was actually a few weeks after this happened. But that would be the big obvious thing just staring me in the face right now in terms of what's on there. And I don't know what it is. I don't think it's that they don't have the stuff digitized and ready to go. I just think they have a bad rollout strategy for it. Because, and this is an example I'll give, a few hours ago for the show, the WWE app gave a notification that said, you know, for people who have the free trial tonight at 8 o'clock, you can watch this year's WrestleMania for free. If someone has the trial and they've had it all week, they could have watched WrestleMania on demand. For some reason, WWE is putting the linear, or if you want to call it live stream, even though most of the shows aren't live, they're putting that first. And that, right now, the way people are consuming this is a terrible idea. An absolutely terrible idea. If someone was binge-watching those ECW shows, which they have at least a healthy amount of, they have like a year's worth, or the World Class shows, which they really only have a few months worth of, they're done. They have nothing else. And that's not even beginning to get in the problem to that if someone really was in this for archive content primarily, and they don't see anything new on the horizon, allowing PayPal has made it that people can cancel without having to commit to the 6 months. I'm not going to go into all the details, but it can, and I know people who have done it. So that's a problem. And then as far as attracting new customers, I would say people who know what it is and that they want it, they have it. I think the biggest problem with new customers is the people who don't understand what it is. They did that video with Kofi Kingston for a few weeks, which came way too late, where they explained it's online, it's like Netflix, you can watch it on TV, on your game consoles, and it was great. They stopped airing it after like 2 or 3 weeks. They need to bring that back, they need to make all that very clear, and they also need to do stuff like This Week in History, premiering This Week on WWE Network, all sorts of stuff like that. They're just not promoting it well enough, they're not defining it well enough, and for people that have it, they are making it more and more unattractive by the day because they are not adding anything new beyond the actual new stuff. They're not adding
especially,
new
stuff. I mean, come on, the renewal period is about to come up. Now is the time where you should be adding more stuff. Now's not the time where you should be slowing down the addition of stuff. I mean, listen, I'm not the most contemporary guy in the world. I don't watch any television shows, okay? I rarely go to the movies. But I'm well aware that a big thing in 2014 is binge viewing. I'm well aware that here in 2014, a big thing is watching things on demand when you want to watch them. I mean, I understand that the original WWE Network was going to be like a cable channel, and it was going to be like, okay, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're going to be airing wrestling. But guess what? That's not what it is now. So there's no reason to be promoting a strategy based around the live stream. Why in the world would I... Why would they advertise that tonight at 8 o'clock I can watch WrestleMania? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. I can go watch WrestleMania right now because it's available on demand. My co-author of Death of WCW in today's cheap plug, he emailed me earlier today, and somebody provided him with every single episode of WCW Thunder. Now, granted, you got to be a glutton to want to watch WCW Thunder. But you know what Artie is doing? He has sat down and he is watching all of these Thunder episodes in order. And he is sending me a list of all the hilariously stupid things. Remember when Vince Russo played Dr. Claw? That was the first thing on the list. I'd totally forgotten about that. And he's sending me this list, and it's like, I sure would like to go back and entertain myself with some of these old Thunders. Guess where I got to get it, everybody? YouTube. Because I can't find it on the WWE Network. It doesn't exist. It feels to me, and listen, I can already tell you what some people listening to this are going to say. They're going to say, Brian, Dave puts out one classic observer of the issue every week. You guys are doing the exact same thing. That's what they're going to say. Okay, fine. But you know what? We did a survey. What is your favorite thing about the website? And by I think it was like 94% to 87% or something like that. The number one draw on the website, believe it or not, is the audio. Number two is the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. And you know what? Every single audio show is in our archives. We're not putting out one new show a week. Every single one. Not to mention, listen, I realize not all of the observers are online, but hundreds of them are online. You can read years and years of observers. So, I mean, to me, it feels, I don't want to use the term carny, but it feels like they're trying to drag a carrot along here by putting out one new world class a week. Not even in order, by the way, and not even every week.
They stopped.
It's a terrible rollout strategy. We'll talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet, over the top at WrestlingObserver.com. Ranted myself into a dripping sweat about the WWE Network in the last segment there. If you're on Twitter and you're a subscriber to the website at Brian Alvarez, you can go and I just linked up Bix's article from this week's new Figure Four Weekly. You should check it out. All about the problems with the network and what they're doing wrong and what's going on, and we don't really know what's going on because I actually talked to a friend that is worked on the WWE Network a couple of days ago, and he made it pretty clear that they don't know what's going on from his perspective either. So it is a rough situation, and we'll talk more about this when we come back from the break. It seems that every week we're asking listeners what do you feel the problems are with the network. We're obviously getting a lot of the same answers, but hey. If you have thoughts on what is going on with the WWE Network, what would you like to see and such? At about 10 minutes after the top of the hour, we will open up the phone lines again, and you can give us a call. That is 855-478-4478. Once again, 855-478-4478. You're welcome to tweet me your thoughts as well, at Brian Alvarez. I will read some of those after the break as well. But we are going to head to the top of the hour break back in about 5 minutes. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined today by David Bixenspan. Mike Sempervivi will be back in 2 weeks. I believe next week we will be doing this show from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, probably co-hosted by Lance Storm. So that is next week on the program. Mike was very busy today. We've got David stepping in here. And I want to give you a chance, Bix, besides obviously plugging the newsletter, let's get your Twitter out there as well.
Very simple. You can follow me on Twitter at David Bix. That's David, then B as B, I, X as an X-ray.
That's right.
And also, you can read something for me every month in Fighting Spirit magazine, as well as something for me on Bleach Report pretty much every weekday and after every pay-per-view.
All Bix does is type, everybody. I can confirm that, listening to him furiously typing during the break about what God only knows. By the way, if you're calling right now, please hang up. We will not be taking calls until after the next break, so just save yourself some time and hang up and call back then. Should add, we've got some questions here, which we'll get into after the break, for Bix related to the WWE Network. If you have not checked it out yet and you're a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, I have tweeted out a link to his article on the network, which is very fascinating. I'd given up on even going back to watch old episodes of Raw since there were so few of them, but I was, in fact, unaware that they have not updated the old Raws since about April. So
No, the Raws they update every week.
Oh, they have been updating Raws.
Raws they do about five. They add a new one each week.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good then. I still was, that was another frustration point for me when I went back to watch some Raws from 1998, and they had two random Raws. Not even in order.
Those are the best of shows.
Drove me nuts. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And a lot of stuff to get into. If you'd like to call, the phone lines are now open, 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada. If you're listening on Sirius Satellite Radio and you see a phone number on your dashboard, for example, don't call that one. Call 855-478-4478. It'll ring until I pick up, at which point you are on the air. So that is the number, 855-478-4478. And Bix, since I was confused during the break, explain this Best of Raw and SmackDown and the random additions to, for example, 1998.
Okay, here is how Raw and SmackDown on the network work. With Raw, you have the current Raws, which are added a month after they air. You have the ones in order from the beginning, which are added five a week in order from the beginning. And you have Best of Raw. SmackDown is the same, except they're not adding them all in order from the beginning yet.
I see.
And the Best of Raw debuts on the live stream each Wednesday night. So that is why when you look in the years that aren't 93 to 95 or 2012 to 2014, it's just stray Raws. So if you don't pay attention to the live stream, you have no idea why there's only scattered episodes.
Well, welcome to my life. Thank God you're here to explain the network to everybody who has bought the network and cannot get a decent explanation from the company. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, Brian. This is Rod from Pittsburgh.
Rod, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to talk about the WWE Network. I'm one of the hardcore fans. You know, I'm Joshi Rod from the board, so I used to run Pro Wrest Blog, and I'm you know, the network really doesn't appeal to me because, you know, I kind of have everything. Before, back in the day, you could buy pretty much every show you wanted, you know, through eBay or Amazon. And now with YouTube and torrent sites, you can get everything you want. So for someone like me, the network doesn't really have anything for me. I mean, I'd love some new shows, but, you know, I don't really want to watch the Monday Night Wars. And, you know, they haven't done much else besides, you know, some behind the vault stuff and all that. So
what kind of,
I don't know.
What kind of new programming would you like to see? What kind of new stuff?
They had a show that they promised, and it was like behind NXT. I remember seeing that on the schedule or something. That would be pretty cool. I'd be up for that. Just anything. More documentaries, you know, more just anything, you know, not recycling old clips. Because, you know, for me, that show, like the Countdown show, that really doesn't do anything for me. It's like, you know, it's really low-effort stuff, I think, you know. More documentaries, more biographies, any kind of, like, some kind of quiz show or game show, you know, something like that. You know, I don't know if you ever watched Who's Number One on ESPN, maybe something like that, or I can't think of the names.
I love the idea of a pro wrestling quiz show where not only did you have to have the right answers, but you had to have what they wanted the right answers to be.
Do you imagine how that would go with how their fact-checking department is?
Exactly. Like, how many fans were in attendance at WrestleMania 3? You got to have the fake number, not the real number.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that would be interesting. just anything. Man, you know, there's another one. I can't think of it. It's on ESPN, and they pick, like, an event. And I was running this article for a little bit, and I thought it was neat. And they'd go down, like, the top five reasons why this happened. And I think that would be pretty cool, like, if they tried to explain something and, you know, they came up with different reasons for things.
Sure.
You know, and they went through some different views. Just anything original, you know, because at the moment I don't see who it's appealing to, because the general fans, you know, if the 7 hours they don't get enough on Raw aren't enough, I don't think the extra 5 or 10 that they're going to get on the network, you know, is really going to do it for them. So, and, you know, me, you know, all the stuff that I'd love to see is being pretty much held hostage, and I'm never going to see it. So, you know, all the TV from the 80s that no one has ever seen or has, and Bix knows about this, but, you know, so I don't know who they're appealing to. It's like, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
What all right. Think, well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy from New Jersey.
What's up, Sammy?
Just a question and a comment. The question is, I wonder if there's any update on The Undertaker.
Update in terms of, will he ever wrestle again?
No, if they have any idea when they're going to, I mean, I would expect him to be on TV at least once to talk about the match or talk about his future. I don't know if, I'm assuming he's healed from his injuries from the match.
I have literally heard absolutely nothing about The Undertaker and what they have planned, which to me means at this point they have nothing planned.
I guess you're right. And the comment was that they, I posted this on the board and other people speculate this as well. Do you think it's at all possible, based on the thing that Vix had talked about before, that they have less subscribers that are paying right now than 667?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. We got a question about that from Sammy. Plus, someone here on Twitter wants to know, what is your speculated figure on international subscribers?
Okay. I think it's highly unlikely that the way it worked out between people who figured out how to cancel and new subscriptions, that it ended up that they're less than the number they gave the day after WrestleMania. It is theoretically possible, but I don't think that's actually the case. If there's even any chance that it's actually the case, then they are screwed. And then now I forgot all of a sudden what the other question was.
International.
Oh, international percentage right now, or what they're going to get once they roll it out?
Right now. What are we at?
See, here's the thing. I don't think there's any good way to guess. I think everything is just too... I think any outside poll is too skewed to get a good sample, and that we've had, because it's someone who's already going to be looking at wrestling news online, so they're more likely to be looking how to get the information anyway. So I think it's always going to skew high. So I don't know, because then also WWE's not going to have any accurate data, because they look like an American customer to them. So nothing would really shock me. I'll put it that way.
100% wouldn't shock you, Bix?
Nothing.
That would shock me.
Nothing. Okay, let me put it this way. Nothing up to 30% would shock me.
So 40% would stun you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I guess we'll know. Listen, within 3 weeks, we will know whatever their new number is. And I guess we shall see then. I think it's going to be up. I don't know how much higher. I would guess mid-700s, but I guess we shall see. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Ivan from Scranton.
Ivan, what's up?
I had a question for you guys. I was wondering what your thoughts were on the whole the Undertaker, you know, the streak situation thing. I know you guys have covered it before, but I've been a little confused about a certain thing. I've been watching wrestling for a long time, and I think, like, the WWE kind of really foreshadowed, you know, Daniel Bryan's title win, because if you think about, like, even WrestleMania 6, you think about the Ultimate Warrior Championship. Think about WrestleMania 30, you're going to think about the streak ending. And then as soon as the streak ended, they kind of went, like, nuclear silence, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, besides Heyman, like, pumping it up. But you haven't heard anything about The Undertaker's condition, any other plans. They just kind of dropped it by the wayside. I was wondering, do you think they're ever going to mention it or pick it back up? Or are they just really that unsure about The Undertaker's health that they don't know what to do.
Listen, I don't know anything, but the way that it has been handled, and based on an idea that they had many, many years ago, I think that they are going to wait and find out how Undertaker is feeling around November, which is usually when they decide whether or not he's going to do a match at WrestleMania. I think if Undertaker is feeling all right in November, then I think that he is not going to be mentioned. They're going to be very quiet. There will be no mention of The Undertaker. And sometime around March, all of a sudden, Brock Lesnar is going to be in the ring. The Undertaker's gong is going to hit. Undertaker's going to come down and absolutely destroy him, setting up a rematch at WrestleMania. We actually have to head to a break. I'll talk more about the scenario when we come back. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And before the break, I was talking my Undertaker scenario, which is if he can wrestle again, I do see a deal where Brock Lesnar is in the ring somewhere around March 2015. He's ranting, he's raving, and all of a sudden the lights go out, the dong hits, and out comes The Undertaker to thrash Brock Lesnar, leading to one more match at WrestleMania where he would avenge his defeat. This was an idea they had many years ago. When Undertaker first broached the idea of losing to Lesnar at Mania, it was to set up a WrestleMania rematch. So I think if the guy can do it, he's going to come back and do it. And if he can't do it, well, they'll just put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but look, we all saw that match. It was not good. And yeah, he got the concussion early on. But still, they did, even if, assuming Lesnar called it spot for spot as they had it planned, they did not have that good a match planned.
No, they didn't. But you know what? I watched that match, and Undertaker was not bad in the early moments of that match. And listen, as a guy who has wrestled for so many years, I'm talking about Undertaker, not myself, but as a guy who's wrestled for so many years, and he had the streak, and he had all of those great matches at WrestleMania, and he had all of those injuries, and he kept coming back. I mean, listen. I wrestled. I was not The Undertaker. I was not a big star. But you know what? If I had what I thought was going to be one of my last matches, and I got a concussion, and I went out there, and I just had a terrible match, I mean, all I would be thinking about was, I got to do one more last match. I'm not going out with that performance. And I don't know what Undertaker's thinking, but I just, watching his career and all of his great matches there at the end, I think in his mind, if he blames that performance on a concussion, he is going to do whatever he can to come back and do it one more time and do it right.
Now, having said that, the reason Vince made the call to end the streak in the first place was that, and I don't think we even heard whether if there was a specific thing, like he saw Brock and Undertaker working out and could tell that he didn't have anything left, or if it was just that he had a harder time getting around, whatever. Vince made the call because he thought it was going to be Undertaker's last year.
Sure.
So, obviously, that was for a reason.
But also, at the end of the day, I think that he will defer to Undertaker's call.
Yes.
I guess we'll see. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Tyler calling from Chicago.
Tyler, what's up?
How do they account for people that share their network account information with friends? Because I know personally I share mine with about 5 different people in about 5 different parts of the country.
5?
Testing by having like my phone, my PlayStation, and my computer running something all at the same time, and I had no problems.
Bix, what do you know about that? 5 people, he says, around the country sharing his password.
Well, you're all counted as one subscriber because it's only one paid account. That's what it comes down to. I would have to check the terms to see if it's actually supposed to be limited. Like, even if they're not enforcing it, if it's really supposed to be limited to 2 at a time, because that's what we heard going into the launch.
Well, caller, let me ask you something. Do you have, like, Netflix?
I do.
Are you able
to show that from a friend?
What was that?
Like a fair trade. He gets my network, I get his Netflix.
Okay, so are you able, I mean, do you share the Netflix password? Are there 5 different people, or do they somehow limit you?
They do limit you. Like, I think only two people can watch a Netflix at a time. If a therapist tries to get on and tell you that too many people are watching.
So for WWE Network, are you limited to two at the same time?
Or no,
you
he
are
said
all
five.
Able to watch at the
no,
same time?
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, clearly that's a problem.
Yes.
All right. Well, caller, I want to thank you very much for the call. I hope your I hope your friends don't get angry when your call may lead to them no longer getting access because they'll limit. I thought at the very beginning it would be limited. I'm stunned to hear that five people around the country can be using it all at the same time.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a second.
All right.
WrestlingObserver.com is limited, I believe, to one simultaneous login. Maybe two. No, it's what is it?
It may be two because phone
it's two
and computer.
In case right, in case a device stays logged in, whatever. And from different IPs, that is. So different locations. So if it's to account right, it's to account for if your phone's also logged in. So this is it's not like this is difficult or expensive.
No. Not at all. Well, I don't. I mean, we're just a website. I'm not sure how it works as far as like, you know, there should be an ability to watch the network. I had a friend who was coming over to watch a pay-per-view. You know, sometimes someone may be watching it at home, and let's just say that I had a roommate. Okay. And we're going to watch the show. So if I were getting ready to watch the pay-per-view and my roommate was still on the way home, he might want to watch the free show or the pre-show or the beginning of the pay-per-view on the network. So it would only be fair if he could watch it when he was on his way over here.
Well, of course, but they said that's what they said they were doing. They said they were doing two simultaneous logins.
Exactly. I think two should be okay, but when it gets to five, I mean, something's wrong.
I would have to look at the terms and conditions to see if they actually spell it out.
Well, maybe try and check that out. I'm going to take this call. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Mike in California.
Mike, what's up?
Hey, I want to talk about the question about the network.
Okay.
And some suggestions that I may have that might work for the network. Maybe bring back the old MSG or Spectrum or Maple Leaf Garden shows, maybe.
So basically, the ones who were on Classics on Demand.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. But the whole entire show.
Sure.
And that, and then another suggestion may be like the caller talked about was maybe on the farm and do a preview of like an upcoming guy like Sami Zayn who's going to be coming up here soon. Maybe get to know him type deal.
Okay. What'd you call it? On the farm.
Yeah, on the farm.
I kind of like that name, actually. Okay.
And then another suggestion I have is like more of like a This Week in WWE, or maybe if something comes on the website, you know, do an update on it and let people know like a new show one time per week.
I mean, they have a This Week in WWE, don't they, Bix?
Okay.
I've never watched it, but I've seen This Week in WWE, so I know.
Yeah, they have a half hour This Week in WWE.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, okay. I don't have the network yet. I've been, you know, I'm wanting to get it, but some, you know, I want to see more of the older shows since that's where I grew up watching. And, you know, I think a lot of people haven't seen that, or even a show called maybe the Dark Matches, where they've had dark matches in the past that never got broadcast. That was the end of the show type deal.
Sure. Yeah. I want to thank you very much for the call. I agree with all of those. I like what Fight Pass does. I mean, listen, they're even showing like there's an NSAC meeting. It's going to be airing on Fight Pass. I mean, when you've got your own network and you've got a live stream, I mean, there's so many opportunities to air so many different things. And I mean, it was great at WrestleMania weekend when they had all that extra WrestleMania stuff up there. But since then, what have we got? Total Divas and some Legends House that I quit watching after the first week because it did not
engage you.
Did not engage me. Thank you, Bix. To the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
John from Arkansas.
John, what's up? Oh, John just got himself disconnected. John, if you're listening, give us a call back. Have you figured anything out, Bix, over there?
I'm not finding anything yet.
Really?
They may have ever... when did you first hear? Did you ever...
I personally asked them
in Vegas.
I personally asked them in Vegas, and they said something like... I think their answer was essentially, whatever Netflix does, we're going to do, I think was what I was told.
Well, this is like what we talked about earlier with PayPal letting people cancel and just pay for a month. this is a similarly bad problem.
Why don't you, I'm going to take this call, check the Netflix terms and conditions, see what exactly it says. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is John. I got myself disconnected.
Yes, you did. What's up?
I want to talk about the network. You know, I was thinking about something. You know, last night they had their big Madison Square Garden thing that they do every year where they do like a little special jump through there. That would be cool if they aired little special programs like that on the network and, you know, open up this vault thing a little bit more than what they have in a little bit, you know, do like a territorial highlight show. I think that would also work, but you'd need the right person to host it, somebody like Jim Ross or somebody like that, where you do like a little hour program on a focus on one of the many territories, and then you highlight that territory from your library throughout the month on the network.
Sure. I mean, go ahead.
There's a lot of cool stuff they could do, but...
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call again. I mean, same call. More stuff. More live stuff. More old shows. I mean, nothing we haven't talked about, but we're just not getting it. And I mean, here's the thing with the network, everybody. If they come on and they say, we don't know how, but we only have 400,000 subscribers now. This is not good. They can always add a whole bunch of stuff, do another free trial week, and away you go. You know what amazes me is when I went to UFC 175, they had commercials for UFC Fight Pass. And the commercials, I mean... It was so much better than the commercials for the WWE Network, number one. And number two, you can get a free trial week anytime you want. You can start anytime. You don't have to wait for the free trial week. For example, if you had a ticket to 175, all you had to do was take your ticket and you got a free week of Fight Pass. Just like that. And I know plenty of people that took their ticket and they got their free week of Fight Pass. I mean, God, the phones are going crazy right now. We're about to head to a break. There's so many different ideas. There's so many things they can do. They can always offer a free trial. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but they do need to fix some of these problems. We're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment. More calls and that sort of thing. Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by David Bixenspan, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always sign up at WrestlingObserver.com. We have daily audio shows. This is the first of three radio shows I am doing today. If you are listening free, well, the other two are for subscribers only. We'll have a new Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer coming up a little later this evening. A brand new Brian and Vinny show. We'll be reviewing SmackDown, NXT, Ring of Honor, and more. And then later on this week, we got a lot of big guests, including Booker T and Bret Hart will both be on the show. Later on this week, only for subscribers, it's $10.99 a month. Not only do you get all of the brand new radio shows, but our entire archive, unlike the WWE Network, our entire archive is available to you. Over 5,000 radio shows dating back to 2005. Every show we've ever done is available in the archives on demand for you. Reviewing all of the big shows, all the big stories, all of the biggest interviews, all up there for subscribers, plus Figure Four Weekly and Wrestling Observer Newsletter. If you're interested in the network, Bix plugged his Figure Four Weekly article, which you can check out right now in the Figure Four Weekly up there on the website. And it's all available. $10.99 a month. If you like this show, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out. Bix, what are you investigating over there as we speak?
Okay, so what we were talking about before the break was just how many people WWE Network let's log in at once on the same account, because someone called in and said he shares it with five of his friends, and during pay-per-views and stuff like that, they'll all be on at the same time with no problem. So before the launch, WWE told you, I'm not sure if I ever asked directly, but you were at the event, they told you. I don't know if it was ever in anything written, but the idea was just like Netflix, two at a time. I think what you said was that they said whatever Netflix is will do that. So obviously they're not. And I checked MLB.tv, since their parent company, MLB Advanced Media, is the one doing pretty much the whole technical backbone of the network. And the best answer I could find was, again, no official answer, but something to the effect of rule of thumb is five, was what one person said. One person said, I've done six at the same time, I've had no problems. Someone else said, I think there's a limit on how many PlayStation 3 consoles you can be on at a time on in the account, but otherwise it appears to be unlimited. So it's not directly WWE's fault, but they should be on the ball with this stuff and talking to their partners about how to fix it. And it's starting to seem more and more like there are a lot of loopholes. I mean, what we talked about earlier with PayPal, that not only does it let people from overseas sign up, but it also lets people cancel, because PayPal is not designed for a 6-month commitment. If you cancel your authorization, it stops billing it as if you canceled a credit card or whatever. They need to rethink taking PayPal, how they take PayPal, maybe take it to $60 in one shot. Overall, the whole picture is not a pretty one.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ken from Long Island.
What's up, Ken?
How are you? So I'm on the WWE.com network terms of services. We got, this is, you know, through, if you log in, they give you a terms of service.
Sure.
And it says on this, you're limited to one WWE network stream on one device at any given time. And then there's big caps. If you circumvent, you're, you know, strictly forbidden. But we all got tons of friends that share this stuff.
So is that the exact wording? Read me exactly what it says, because I looked at a separate TOS that didn't have that.
Yep. So it's under access to services. This is underlined under access to services.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, although your WWE network subscription is accessible on a number of devices, your use is limited to one WWE network stream on one device at any given time. Then we start the capital letters. If you circumvent or attempt to circumvent any of the use restrictions in these terms, your subscription will be subject to immediate termination, and you may be subject to legal action. Sharing of login information, including passwords, are strictly forbidden. So we got a bunch of people sharing logins. We got a bunch of people sharing logins, and what are they going to do? Kick you off and make their network numbers go down? They got to fix
circumvention.
They fix the
sharing. What is circumvention if there's nothing to circumvent?
Well, UFC Fight Pass, I don't know if you guys ever tried it on UFC Fight Pass, but if you try, even if you're on the same IP, to log in on two separate ones, they log you out immediately and say you have another device in use. So it's all about enforcement. And when we get these pay-per-views like Money in the Bank and everyone's complaining about lagging issues, well, if every subscriber is having 2.5 streams at once or 3 streams at once and they got 2 million streams going or 1.5 million streams going, that's why you got the buffer issue. So just fix it. It'll make their subscriber numbers go up. It'll make everyone happier with the service.
Because it's more capacity than they think they're going to need to handle. Yes.
But yeah, if it's 667,000 streams versus, you know, 1.2 million streams, 1.3 million streams, maybe I'm exaggerating on the number of people that are sharing, but that's what we're talking here. You know, they just got to fix it, and then their subscriber numbers will go up. Obviously, you can't cancel people that have double streams now, because then your numbers will go down. You just got to fix the problem, and then when you can't share anymore and 2 or 3 people can't watch the pay-per-view, all of a sudden maybe the subscriber numbers will go up. Instead of paying $5 or $3.33 a month if you're sharing it with 2 or 3 people.
I am absolutely baffled when I hear about... I've never tried to watch simultaneously on the network. Actually, you know what? I have had the network going upstairs here during the show and downstairs for people coming over to watch a pay-per-view. I have had that happen, but I've never tried to watch Fight Pass in two places at once. I am just amazed.
Well, I mean, if you have one IP, you know, and you're watching upstairs and downstairs and you're on the same IP, I think that's cool, but Fight Pass actually doesn't let you do that.
Yeah.
But these people, like I said, I got friends who, oh, we can't make it over each other's house this week. We'll just all log in from our house and we'll all just watch the pay-per-view at the same time. And then you're sitting there and the pay-per-view is buffering and you wonder why, you know, all WWE needs to do is enforce their own terms of service and it'll make their subscription numbers go up and it'll make everyone's viewing experience better.
How are they not enforcing this? For the love of God, I mean, it should be very simple to make sure that only, well, I mean, make it three, make it two, make it, I mean, whatever, but enforce it.
The thing that's funny is MLB really doesn't enforce it either, but if you think about it, with WWE, they got one big thing going on, right? They got Money in the Bank going on, or they got Battleground going on. That's the big thing that everyone's going to watch, and that could crumble that stream. If you're sharing it with MLB people across the country, well, one guy in New York's watching the Yankee game, a guy in Cleveland's watching the Indian game, you over in Seattle, well, you don't watch baseball, would be watching the Mariners game.
Sure.
You know, so it's separate streams. So even if you're sharing it across the country, not everyone's going to watch the game at the same time. They're going to be watching different games.
Yeah.
So it's not going to have the adverse. It's still bad to share, but it's not going to have that same adverse effect that WWE Network has at peak times with all these people sharing and tuning in.
Well, I want to thank you so much for the call. Excellent information right there. Greg here on Twitter also says, Netflix will give you a warning message if you try watching something on more than two devices at a time. And again, if you're just now tuning in, we had a guy calling about a half hour ago that said that he and five other friends around the country are sharing their passwords to watch pay-per-views, which is, hey, maybe I'm just naive, but mind-boggling to me that is the case. I would be stunned if within the next month they didn't somehow find a way to prohibit that from happening. It makes no sense that it has not been prohibited already. I don't know what they're thinking. That should be like the number one thing when you're doing something like a WWE Network. The number one thing should be to limit the number of people that can access it at any given time.
Well, they think they're limiting it. The terms act as if they have a way to limit it because they say that if you try to circumvent their limits, they could cancel your account and maybe even take legal action. The problem is there's nothing to circumvent. It's not like there is a copy protection or anything that people are circumventing. They're
well,
I think they're
saying you're circumventing the payment process.
I don't think so. I think they mean try to circumvent it technologically somehow.
Well, you're not doing that. You're just using it elsewhere.
Well, that's my point. I think that it's worded as if they have the one device at a time restriction in place.
I see. Semper V, by the way, our regular co-host Mike says WWE absolutely needs to limit the sharing. With that said, UFC really needs to change a policy on one device from the same IP. I do agree with that. Like I said, when I'm doing the show doesn't end till 5, and I have friends that come over to watch the shows, and so I need it running in two places at once. I need it upstairs so I can watch it for the show, and I need it downstairs so people can watch it while I'm upstairs. So not being able to watch it in both places on Fight Pass would actually cause a problem here. It's not the end of the world. I could just not watch it. But for ease of usage, here's the thing that I believe in terms of piracy, and it's how we've run the business on our website. I want to try to prevent people from pirating our content. At the same time, I do not want to make it so difficult to pirate the content that it makes it difficult for my subscribers to easily access everything they need wherever they want to, if that makes sense. So I think it is important for UFC to have a policy where you can only use it on X number of devices at the same time. But I do think that only using it on one device actually makes it too restrictive for your paying customers. So I would raise that to 2. You could maybe even argue 3, but I don't know how many households there are that really have 3 TVs that are going to be streaming UFC.
Well, you could just limit it to 1 IP address at a time. It's really that simple.
1 IP address? Oh, so you mean like 10 people on the same IP?
Right. If it's all on the same IP address, they're clearly all in the same house.
Sure. Sure. So yeah, I'd be fine with that as well. But regardless, it is funny to look at you know, UFC and WWE are both doing something very similar, but with one major difference, which is that UFC is not putting their pay-per-views on their Fight Pass. And really, when you think about the WWE Network, the biggest mistake they made was putting those pay-per-views on the network for free. A, their pay-per-view business is collapsing. B, there's no reason to commit to 6 months if you're not putting those pay-per-views on there for free. Because a UFC Fight Pass, you pay by the month. You pay $9.99 a month. You can sign up for 1 month. You can cancel at any time. No problem. WWE, because they're putting their $54.95 street price pay-per-views up there on that network, they're forced to do this wacky 6 month commitment, which obviously is not really a 6 month commitment.
And it doesn't really work.
And it doesn't really work. And they're cannibalizing their pay-per-view business. I mean, they rushed in. They jumped in with both feet in the water, which is what Vince McMahon does. And I think that UFC is doing this the right way. They're growing slowly. They're building it up. They seem to be doing great. They don't have 667,000 subscribers, I would guess. But for what, I mean, I'm sure they're more than breaking even. And WWE is far from breaking. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike. Actually, we're not joined by Mike Sempervivi. He'll be back soon. David Bixenspan is here on the show. We got about 2 minutes, not a lot of time. In conclusion, obviously, big problems with the WWE Network. This is not new. This is not new news. This is not news. But hopefully, sometime in the next month or so, we'll see some changes. I do expect that at the end of July, we'll have a number that will not be all that impressive. I think we'll have a lot of promises. I think we'll be promised a lot of change. What that will be, I don't know. With 30 seconds, Bix, any final thoughts?
I think that they can't stop taking PayPal, so I think pretty much what they have to do is make it that PayPal's $60 payment if they're going to keep doing the 6 month commitment instead of filling it once a month at $10. And obviously they have to lock down those the simultaneous login restriction. I can't believe they didn't, since those are people who are going to pay. If they're watching it on PlayStation or whatever, they're going to pay once it gets taken away. So hopefully they do that for their sake and they will prosper as a result.
All right, everybody, we're about to wrap it up. I want to thank Bix so much for doing the show today. At David Bix on Twitter. Obviously, you can check out Figure Four Weekly and Fighting Spirit Magazine. So many different places that Bix is madly typing away at. Mike Sempervivi is going to be back in about 2 weeks. Next week, I'll be in Calgary, Alberta, Canada with Lance Storm. We'll be doing the show there. We'll be previewing the WWE Battleground pay-per-view. Don't forget, two more shows tonight on the website, only for subscribers. A new Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. New Brian and Vinny show as well. Tomorrow is Raw. Lots of stuff coming up, so check out WrestlingObserver.com, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.